We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Had to forget something. Embrace the awkward. I'm wearing it on my shirt today, so
I love it.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. We've had a good laugh already this morning.
Yes,
that's a good way to start the day.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, did we get the phone? Okay. Sorry. You can email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper, and we'll pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all.
Sounds good to me.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure, let's pray. Gracious God, as we get ready to talk a little bit about focus today, help us to focus on you, to put all the distractions and all the things that happen in our lives, help us to put those away for a few moments, and simply to look upon your face, because in you, oh God, is where we find life, and help us to find that life again today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, and I think I could probably use some focus today.
Well, and speaking of that, I was making sure I turned my phone sound off so it didn't ring.
Right.
Because invariably when I am here, I think everybody must know it, because there are times when I'm doing this program that, like, my phone will just keep blowing up, and I'm like, you know. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to start today with a little bit of a story, but kind of an understanding. I've told the story on this program before about the first time I got to get glasses, when I couldn't see the scoreboard at a basketball game. And I've had glasses since I was 5-6 years old. I mean, a long time. I'm 47, so over 40 years I've worn glasses. I've tried contacts a few times. Contacts and I do not have a love relationship.
I understand.
And so I've always worn glasses. Well, this was about, this is about 10 years ago now. No, excuse me, 20 years ago now. One afternoon, my buddy, his name's also Scott, came to see me at the church that I was serving at the time. And it was great. I was going to spend the whole weekend with him. And you know how it is when you get a buddy from college come to see you. You know, we're gonna reminisce. We're going to have some fun. And we did. I mean, we had a blast that Friday night. And Saturday morning, he got up, and I got up, and he said, what are we going to do today? And I said, well, we talked about going to the movie. And I said, but man, something in my eye. And he was like, he looked, and he's like, you know anything in your eye? I was like, okay. Didn't think anything of it, but you know how sometimes you just know something's not right? Mm-hmm. So the day went along. We went to the movie. We went to like an afternoon show. And the whole movie, and for those of you who wear glasses, you know this scenario, where you just are sure there's something on your glasses. I mean, you are doing everything you can, finding any napkin or to try to rub them off because there's just something not right. And the whole movie, I could not focus. I just couldn't get it. So we went to dinner, and Scott's like, "Are you okay?" Because, I mean, I couldn't read the menu. It just was out of focus. So decided, then my eye started to hurt. So I thought, well, because I've probably been rubbing it, but went to the emergency room to have them look at it. Nothing. They thought maybe there might be a little small scratch, but nothing. Got up the next morning. Was preaching at church on Sunday. Preached a sermon, oddly enough, on pull the plank out of, you know, your own eye. And I'm like, I wish I could. Because, I mean, the people looked like they were in outer space to me. And this is a pulpit by this point. I had preached in for a couple of years. I mean, this is the church I'd been serving for a while. So that Monday, I decided I'd better go see the optometrist, go see the eye doctor. And it was then that I learned that I had a condition called optic neuritis. Part of my right eye, part of my optic nerve, is actually dead. And your optic nerve does not regenerate. So I will always have that. And at that point, the doctor, the optometrist said, "I'm not sure I don't know how degenerative this is going to be, but you're probably going to go blind in your right eye. Thank you for your bedside manner." You can imagine where my focus went. You know, there might have been some words that are not safe for a Christian radio program said. There were definitely some thoughts that were not Christian radio worthy, right? And that week was probably one of the hardest of my life, simply because the unknown. And so I went to go see a neuro-ophthalmologist. By the way, when you add all those words, you can just imagine the bill. But right. This is a really smart guy, okay? And he did something that I will never forget. He helped me to focus. Now, we found out at the time that part of my neuritis was my pupil inverted. It was very weird. So when you shine light, what does your pupil do? It gets smaller. Mm-hmm. Mine got bigger. So you can imagine me trying to sit in a dark theater watching a screen.
Oh.
If you took light away, your pupil's supposed to get bigger. Mine got smaller. It doesn't do it anymore. You're like looking at me now. I can see it. She's like, no, it doesn't do it anymore. It went away. But funny enough, when you say that, every time I go to the optometrist 20 years later, is my pupil doing okay? Mm-hmm. Is my pupil doing the right thing? I still ask. But the reason I bring that story up is when things are not in focus, the world is a very scary place. Mm-hmm. When you can't control what you see or think, feel, or experience, when there are unknowns that begin to grow, it makes life super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We've all faced this. And I'm going to use focus here as more metaphorical than I am just seeing. I told the story about seeing. But the idea being, we've all had those moments that have thrown us off focus. We get a phone call from somebody that a relative is sick and dying in a hospital that we didn't even know was sick. Or someone, your kids had a car wreck. I remember the first time one of my daughters had a car wreck. She was fine. But when she called and she goes, I had a car wreck. All of these images popped into my head. Now, it was her calling me, so I knew at least she could talk. But just all these horrible images. And whatever I was doing, I had to stop because it just got jumbled. You've been there. Maybe even for yourself. For me, it was that diagnosis. I'm like, what do you mean I'm going to go blind? At that point, I'm not even 30 years old. You know, I was 28 years old at the time. What are you talking about? I'm going to go blind. That's just crazy to me. And it just stopped me down. Well, I think that one of the things that happens in our spiritual life is that we get out of focus. And when we get out of focus, you can hear sermon after sermon. You can go to Bible study after Bible study. You can watch this program day in, day out, whether we record it right or not. You can watch this every day. And if you are out of focus, I don't care if it's Billy Graham. It just doesn't click. It just doesn't hit. Because it's kind of like, the way I describe it, it's kind of like if you ever had like a paper cut, it's really not that big a deal. But if you ever notice, it's all you can think about. Mm-hmm. I'm watching TV. Oh, man, my finger hurts. I'm trying to eat. Oh, my finger hurts. My finger hurts. You know, it's just a paper cut. But when you get misaligned, everything becomes more difficult. And I think what happens in the Christian walk, in our Christian life, is that sometimes we become so out of focus. We might want to focus, but we just don't know how. It may be even to the point, and we'll get there later in the program, but it could even be, that's why, you know, we talk about the grace of God and how, you know, that we absolutely need Jesus, because without Jesus, we can't find salvation. Because I think sometimes we get so jumbled, so messed up, so out of whack. There's just doesn't feel like there's a way back. Mm-hmm. For some of you watching, if you go to a more liturgical church, I'm a United Methodist, and so We are a liturgical church tradition. This is these days leading up to Easter, what we call the season of Lent. And you know, in Lent, one of the things you hear people, even people who don't participate in liturgical churches, talk about is maybe they're going to give something up for Lent. You know, you've heard people, I'm going to give up chocolate, or I'm going to give up coffee, which the Lord and I have discussed that. We're not doing that. I have my coffee right over here, actually. But give up chocolate, or give up fried food, or maybe take something up, like if I'm not praying daily, I'm going to commit to praying daily, or I'm going to commit to praying for at least one meal a day, or something of that effect. Mm-hmm. Giving up something or taking up something. The idea being that what would it look like if we could get our lives focused back on Jesus before we get to Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday? What if we took inventory of our lives? And I'm not talking about just a quick, you know, once over. I'm talking about a deep, introspective, reflective look at where am I really? Because look, there might be times in your life where you and God are good. And thanks be to God for those moments when God is in focus. Okay? I pray those moments. I've had a few in my life. But I will guarantee you I've had way more where my focus has been a little bit like this. And so what I like to do every Lent is think about, and I teach this at our church, is use this time to dig a little deeper, to ask yourself, what is it that's pulling us out of focus? Growing up, for me, the reason I got glasses is I have an astigmatism. That's the cause. That's the root cause. And it just gets worse every year. I have to go to the eye doctor once a year because guess what? When my eye doctor, when she looks at these and she does a few tests, and you know, you have to look in that thing, number one or number two, one or three, you know, all of a sudden she writes this prescription and they make these, and I go, oh my gosh.
It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world, right? I mean, what would that look like if we did that to the lens of our faith? If we focused on our faith walk the way we focus on getting a new prescription for our eyes. And look, I have to get one every year. If I still had the same prescription I had when I was a five-year-old, you'd look even funnier. I'm just telling you right now, all right? If I still had the issues that I was having back in 2003 with the neuritis, I will always have a little residual. I'm so used to it, I don't even notice anymore. In fact, when I talk about it, I'm like, I don't think I still have that. I don't. But we do this for all kinds of other things, mm-hmm. especially our physical stuff, right? Oh, my gosh, my paper cut, right? I'm going to put some Neosporin on it, throw a bandage on it. It's just a paper cut. But we do this. Why don't we do this for our faith walk with God? Why are we so unwilling to look at the things that push us out of focus? Now, there's a number of reasons for this. Unlike physical things, I think sometimes it starts with, I don't want to admit my failure. Because if I do, then not only am I letting myself down, but I'm letting my friends, I'm letting my family down. And then we really get behind the, you know, peel the onion back, so to speak. I'm letting God down. Guess what? You are not the first human being on this planet to let God down. And I hate to tell you this. Unless Jesus returns right now, you're not going to be the last.
Right.
Okay? I mean, that's just the truth. We have been letting God down for millennia. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's a reason in Jeremiah. He talks about, I'm going to establish a new covenant. A lot like the old one that your ancestors broke. I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. You know, even when Jesus says, this is the new covenant of my blood for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, why we think that to tell God the truth, to admit to our failure, to admit to our being out of focus, why we are so afraid of that when, truth be known, God already knows. And unfocused makes us more unfocused. And makes us more unfocused. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. One of the things that I probably struggle with the most, I've done it in my own life at times. I listen to people's stories as a pastor all the time. Where you can almost draw it like a downward spiral. And at any one point, if you're like, I mean, I've tried to tell myself at times, just stop. And I've told other people, stop. And yet, I think that's why people get stuck in their relationship with God. I think it's why, you know, there are moments like we talk, you know, sometimes we'll all talk about it, right, in the Christian world. You know, oh, gosh, I wish I was on fire for God like I was when I was a new Christian. Or when I see the new Christians, they are just on fire for Jesus. And then there's everybody else, you know. I think part of that is, over time, we've lost our focus. We've lost our focus on Jesus. We've lost, you know, making him the object of our worship. Of looking at him and seeing the depth of love that he must have had to have to go through everything he went through for us. But when we forget that, and when we move our eyes even just a little bit to the right or to the left, this becomes foolishness. One of my favorite verses is actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read it to you real quickly. I got to find the wrong button here. Let me bring this up here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Here we go. There it is. And it says this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Yes.
Because during the season of Lent, when I start my self-reflection, when I ask my congregations to start self-reflecting, if I'm calling us today to do a little self-reflection, I don't want to ever say out loud the cross is foolishness. Because I don't believe that.
Right.
But boy, sometimes I act like it is. Sometimes I act as if the cross doesn't matter. Sometimes I try to live as if Jesus' death and resurrection don't make any difference in my life. When I start doing introspection and realize how out of focus my life can become and how quickly, it becomes super dangerous. Because when I begin to think that I don't need Jesus, when I begin to think, hey, I can solve all my stuff on my own. Hey, you know what? I mean, Jesus is a great guy. Should learn some moral teachings from him. But that I don't really need Jesus. I mean, I like Jesus, but I don't need Jesus. When we start to get out of focus, that's when that downward spiral starts and begins and gets worse and worse and worse. Because what happens is we eventually get to the bottom where we find out that that deciding that we are the object of our worship, that I am the source of my own salvation, leaves me wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves me in the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
Leaves me in the wilderness of my own sin and despair. And you know, one of the things I like to watch, I am not by any means at all, actually. I'm not an outdoor guy. Don't like the outdoors that much, actually. It's not my thing. But I like to watch outdoor programs. I like to watch things that I don't do, right? But one of the things that I like is some of those old, some of the old Survivor Man shows and stuff like that. And he did an episode one time where he talked about getting lost. And he said, it's not that you get lost the first 5 feet, but you start down the road the first 5 feet. It's not that you get lost after the first turn, but the reality is you made the first turn. And it's only after a while that you look around and realize, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I don't know how to get out of here. I think that's where many of us are in our faith. I think many of us are at a space where I think deep down we kind of want to be out of the wilderness. We want to be able to focus on Jesus, but we just don't know how. We feel like we're trapped in this muck and the mire. I got to tell you, the hardest thing I hear is passion. I think I say it every time I'm on this program because I want people to know how hard this is to hear. But one of the hardest things to hear is when somebody says, I don't think I'm lovable. I don't think God can love me. I am too terrible. There's no way God could love me. Boy, you talk about being out of focus.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about being so far removed. I mean, if nothing else, even to a non-believing person, if I said, tell me a verse of the Bible, they'd probably go, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. For God so loved the world, loved you, And yet, that's one of the first things that goes out of focus. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do in the second half of the program is we're going to talk about what it means to refocus. So if focusing on our faith, right, if we take a real introspective look and we find our focus fuzzy, if we find ourselves somewhere on that spiral, maybe you're at the rock bottom. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. How do you stop that? How do we refocus? And we're going to look at it based on that text we just read in 1 Corinthians, because we're going to find out that the cross is what changes all of it. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the program.